Hello and welcome to the Cloud Resource Podcast. Listen and be blessed. I welcome you to this amazing edition where we continue our series on God's purpose for you. In today's episode, we'll be talking about discovering God's purpose. Let's pray. Father, in this moment, we join our spirit with your spirit and we open ourselves up to receive clarity, to receive instruction, to receive direction, to receive exhortation, encouragement in your word and correction in your word and instruction in your word. We ask, dear Lord, that as we look into your word, the power of your word transforms us and revolutionizes us, and we become people who herald your word, who live your word, such that we become people who walk the word, who live the word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, we will be looking at discovering God's purpose today, and very quickly, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, from verse 4, it says, prophet is called. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Amen. Having established a relationship with God, having developed a consistent walk with God, the next phase in understanding or recognizing God's purpose for you is to discover God's purpose for you. The problem is not God not wanting to tell you his purpose for your life. The problem most times is us receiving, is us discovering God's purpose for our lives. Because at every, like we saw in our last session, at every point where God discovered, where God told people his purpose for their lives, it wasn't them who asked God first. It was God who told them first. It shows to us how much God is willing to let you know his purpose for your life. You see Moses, you see Paul, you see Jeremiah here. It wasn't the one who asked God first. It was God who went ahead to come to them, to talk to them about his purpose for their lives. And this is very instructive, because what this means to us is that God wants you to know, God is already revealing to you his purpose for your life. God is already communicating to you right from the point where you got saved and spirit began to indwell you. There was access to understanding God's purpose for your life. Remember, we were reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about how the natural man cannot conceive of things of God. And how that because now we have a spirit in us, we can now conceive, we can now comprehend, alright, spiritual realities. We can now comprehend spiritual realities. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. You know. And so there is no problem when it comes to God telling you your purpose or his purpose for your life. The question is you. How do you now receive? How do you now discover it? How do you now perceive what God is telling you about your life? And so it is worthy of note that when we look at the scriptures, we would realize that almost everyone in the Bible who had an encounter with God simultaneously discovered God's purpose for them. You know, everyone who had a walk with God, they in the process of having a walk with God, discovered God's purpose for them. You know, a typical example is Abraham. Abraham had to realize that his purpose was that he was gonna be the one through which the nation that will produce the virgin, through which the savior of the earth will come. You know, he was gonna be the father of that nation. The progeny of that nation would have its roots in him. Okay, and it took a long while for him to realize that. He thought at first that it was just about him having a child, and so he went ahead and had a child with a bond woman, and God had to come to him and say, Abraham, look, it's not about you having a child, it's about having Isaac. You have to have a child, you have to have Isaac. Sarah has to conceive and bear a child. Okay, why? Because through this child will that lineage, that nation that I will preserve, through which this virgin that will conceive the savior of the world will come. And until Abraham and Sarah understood this reality, they couldn't conceive, they couldn't have faith to conceive a child. Alright, and so God had to keep coming to them, would come to that later on, the part of you believing God's purpose for you. Okay, another example is Isaac, another example is Jacob. You know, these people, as they continue to journey, as they continue to walk with God and build their relationship with God, they had clearer and clearer understanding of their purpose. Another typical example is Moses, like we studied in depth in the first episode about Moses, where he first encountered God and God told him clearly his purpose, which was to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. You see Simon Peter, when they met with Jesus and Jesus said to them, come and leave what you're doing and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Alright, there were men who were going to populate God's kingdom. Same with Paul in Acts chapter 9, you know, and you see, most of these people had something they were doing before they came. You know, it's so interesting to know that you must understand that God's purpose for your life is not determined by what your passion is. It's not determined by, you know, there's a clear-cut difference between God's purpose for your life and your source of income. There's a clear-cut difference between God's purpose for your life and your source of livelihood. You cannot replace God's purpose for your life with your source of income. You cannot replace God's purpose for your life with your career path. You cannot replace God's purpose for your life with your career goals. They are different. They are different. You see, someone like Elisha, when he met Elijah, Elisha was a successful farmer, but then he had to leave what he was doing to follow Elijah. When he came to realize God's purpose for his life. Look at Paul. He was a Pharisee. He was someone who was versed in the law. You know, he was committed to, you know, persecuting Christians. He was working for the high priest in those days, and he was so committed to doing what he was doing. He was a writer of the law. He was someone who understood, you know, who was a teacher of the law, you know, before the Lord encountered him in Acts chapter 9. And that was at that point that Jesus himself encountered him, that he began to let him know his purpose in Acts chapter 9. And we saw him begin to give account of that incident in Acts 26. You see, we must understand that there's a clear-cut difference between you being a successful business person or a successful musician or a successful actor or actress or engineer or doctor. Those things are good, but they are not necessarily in themselves God's purpose for your life. That you are passionate about sewing good clothes or drawing arts or acting movies doesn't make your purpose acting movies. Now, we must understand that God's purpose for us is different from our career paths or our business or our source of income. God's purpose is the specific impact that wants you to make in life of others through you. The specific impact that God wants to make in the life of others through you, that is your purpose. That is God's purpose for you. That is fundamentally God's purpose for you. And you see, I'm not saying that you are, God's purpose for you is necessarily that you become a pastor or like you become an evangelist where you go about just preaching the gospel and you know, I'm not saying that God's purpose for you has to be you pioneering a ministry about starting a church and stuff like that. What I'm saying is that your God's purpose for your life is that impact that you're supposed to have in the lives of people when they come in contact with you. Alright? And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to have to quit your job. It just means that you use your job as a platform to now fulfill that purpose. You use the influence that God gives to you as a result of your work, as a result of your academic status. You use these things as a platform to serve the Lord. You use this as a platform to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Now, what this means is that God's purpose is beyond you. It's beyond you. It's beyond your skill set. It's beyond your dreams and aspirations. It's beyond what you're passionate about. Sometimes your goals, your passion can be in line, but it is not the fundamental yardstick for you to recognize or discover God's purpose for your life. Okay, now the most important thing that you need to know about God's purpose for you is that God will tell you his purpose for your life. So when someone asks me, how do I know, how do I discover God's purpose for your life, it's simple. He will tell you. Why? How did Apostle Paul discover God's purpose for your life, for his life? God told him. Jesus told him in Acts chapter 9. How did Moses discover God's purpose for his life? God told him. God told him in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Alright? How did Abraham discover God's purpose for his life? God told him. How did even our Lord Jesus Christ discover God's purpose for his life? He read it in scriptures. And the Bible says about scriptures that they were written by the inspiration of God. You know, they were written by the inspiration of God's Spirit. You know, they were written by men who were inspired by God's Spirit. Okay, so we can say invariably that the words of the prophet were words that were inspired by the Spirit of God. And we see Jesus reading about this prophecy in his earthwork, in his earthwork. We see a lot of prophecies that were written about him, and we see him fulfilling those written prophecies. And so God will communicate to you your purpose. God will speak to you your purpose. Remember, like we said earlier, that you can now perceive the things of God. You can now hear God's voice. You can now be led by the Spirit of God. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That means you are now a child of God. In Romans chapter 8, you are now a child of God. You are now a child of God. Alright? And you must understand this truth. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It says, in verse 16 that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit, which is the Spirit of God, bears witness with our own spirit that we are children of God. And so we can comprehend the things of God. The Spirit of God can communicate with our spirit can receive and perceive, you know, the things of God. Okay, now it is very important that you know this, that the fundamental yardstick to knowing God's or discovering God's purpose for your life is that God will tell you His purpose for your life. He will tell you in clear terms. And so how are you going to hear God? How are you going to hear from God? You hear from God primarily by His Spirit in your heart. This is what we read earlier on in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. He says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Why? What is that Spirit? When you go back one verse, verse 15, he says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba Father. That's the Spirit of adoption, and that is the Spirit in us, in our spirit, that is one with our spirit. And so it is by that Spirit that we can receive the words of God in our mind. So when you pray to God, a lot of us just go to God and we just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. We have to understand that God is real. God is practical. God is not vague. And so God speaks. God is not just a radio. God communicates. It's a double position of communication. God speaks, you listen. You speak, God listens. And so sometimes you have to take a break when you pray and just receive feedback from Him and hear what He has to say. Sometimes it can just be that feeling of peace. And you know, sometimes you can, that feeling of peace is enough. It's enough for you to know that your prayers are answered. Sometimes it's enough for you to know that His presence is with you and that you're not alone. Sometimes He responds, and what you have is that joy in your soul. Right, and that assurance that you can keep going. Amen. You see, he says that the problem is that many people are not ready to listen. That's the problem. And so God is constantly communicating His purpose to us in our minds. God is constantly communicating to us in our spirit, but our minds have not focused. Our minds are not focused on the things in heaven. Our minds are not focused on the things that come from God. You know, our minds are focused on the things that are pertaining to us. You know, a lot of people are not listening. Look at what Jesus says. He says in Matthew chapter 6, you know, from verse 31, he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Verse 32 says, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so, this brings us straight into the second major requirements to discovering God's purpose for our lives. Yeah, you're a child of God. Yes, you are born again. Yes, the Spirit of God indwells you. Yes, you know how to hear from God. But then there's also this requirement. And this requirement is that we must prioritize God's kingdom. We must have a correct heart posture in our relationship with God, a heart that constantly seeks God's kingdom, a heart that constantly seeks to know the heart of God, that is constantly seeking that the kingdom of God is populated and established upon the earth, a heart that is not just about what we need, the material needs, what we want to eat, what we want to wear, or want to drink, how are we going to pay our bills? And that's the thing with many Christians. We're all about our personal needs. And so when we come to God, we spend all the time praying about our personal needs. We spend all the time thinking about and worrying about all the things that, you know, that are relevant to our flesh, that are not, you know, eternally relevant. And like I said, God's purpose, and we're going to look at that very soon. God's purpose for you. So one of the ways that you're going to test run and know that, oh, this is God's purpose for my life, is that purpose is going to be eternally irrelevant. Yeah, it's fundamentally God's purpose for your life is fundamentally eternally relevant. This means God's purpose for you is your specific assignment through which He is going to populate and establish God's kingdom on the earth. Amen. God's purpose for your life is the medium through which He's going to establish and populate His kingdom here on earth. That's it. That's God's purpose for your life. Your assignment must align with this. And so a lot of us are not receiving, we're not able to receive, we're not, you know, we're making our minds, you know, stiffed and so stoned, you know, and just so turned against God's word, against what God is saying. And so a lot of people are not listening. The problem is not that God doesn't want to tell people what His purpose for their life. The problem is people are not listening. And if you don't listen, most people just go ahead and just do what they want. And you see, God is merciful. If you go on asking God for things, that is what you're going to get. You're going to keep getting things without any eternal relevance. I don't know about you, but I personally don't want to live a life that doesn't have eternal relevance. I don't want to live a life where all the treasures that I got in my lifetime, none of them are eternally relevant. They're just all things that are gonna, you know, perish on this earth. You know, things that are gonna come to an end and just perish when the earth passes away. And in eternity, there's absolutely nothing to show for all the life that I live here on earth. No, that's not the kind of life that I want to live. And so God's purpose for your life cannot be that He wants you to be the richest man in the world. No, it cannot stop there. It's most likely, and it cannot stop there. It just cannot be. Why? Because it's temporal. There will always be another person who will be the richest man in the world. And the money that you're gonna have is temporal. It's gonna fade away. So God's purpose for your life might be that when you become the richest person in the world, you're going to fund this gospel. You're going to use the platform to preach the gospel. You're going to use the platform to populate and establish the kingdom. You're going to use the money to build auditoriums and establish, you know, local churches where people can grow in the knowledge of God and in their relationship with God and fund missionaries and stuff like that. Yeah, now that is your purpose. And so your purpose didn't stop at you being the richest person in the world. Your purpose can be that you become the most successful doctor in the world. Because that is going to fade away. Someone else is going to come and it's going to take over. It's going to break your record. And that's a fact. That's the truth. God's purpose for your life would be that you're going to use that platform to be a blessing to people, to impact people, to be a motivation to people towards loving God and doing His will and pursuing the things that please His heart and pursuing a walk with God. That then is your purpose, because that is something that is eternally relevant. Many people come to God, but they come to Him for what they will eat, for what they will wear. I want to ask you something. Have you ever gone to God and asked Him, God, why did you create me? What is your purpose for my life? Have you ever done that? Because if all we want to do with our life is to seek the things that we need, is to seek our material things, then we will continue to seek that all our life. Because no man can be satisfied by material things. Our soul is built such that the only thing that can satisfy the hunger of our soul is Jesus, is a relationship with God, is a conscious knowing, a conscious staying, and fellowshipping in the presence of God. That is what is going to satisfy our soul. The richest people in the world, they keep going after riches. They keep going after riches because it doesn't satisfy the soul. They want to have more money. They want to have more fame. Why? Because that doesn't satisfy the soul. But what brings joy, what brings true peace to a man is knowing Jesus, is knowing God, is having a heart that recognizes and stays in the presence of God. Oh, amen. Amen. And it's so sad. It's so sad that a lot of people are making this mistake of just gravitating towards their material needs, and God is saying, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. You won't have to seek for them. You won't have to struggle and hustle for them. I am going to add them unto you. Amen. And so, this makes people dull. It makes people so insensitive towards perceiving God's purpose for their lives. And so understanding God's purpose for our lives requires more than just having a relationship with God. It requires us having a heart that desires His desires. A heart that longs for God's longings. A heart that desires His desires, that delights in the things that delight Him. Now that's in mind, that will discover God's purpose. And so the key ingredient to discovering God's purpose for our lives is to seek first His kingdom. Is to seek first His kingdom. How His kingdom is going to be populated. How His kingdom is going to be established here in heaven. You know, some people, their role is just to be intercessors. To pray for the establishment of God's kingdom here on earth. And as they pray, their prayers are answered in God sending laborers, God sending men out to talk, to preach the gospel in every nation, in every corners of the world. Now that's someone who is fulfilling God's purpose. That is an eternally relevant purpose. And so when Jesus, the physical image of God's person on earth, would leave the world and ascend to heaven, the mandate He gave the disciples was to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature and to make disciples of all nature, of all nations. That was the purpose that He gave to the disciples. And so every other purpose that a man will have today will fall under this, will be geared towards achieving this. When we take a broader look at God's purpose for your life, it must achieve this. It must be that it is populating God's kingdom, it is raising disciples, it is establishing God's kingdom here and there. And so if you're going to be a doctor or a lecturer or an accountant or whatever it is that your career or source of income is, it will all be a platform through which God fulfills His purpose for your life. That is not going to be your platform. That is not going to be your platform. And so as we round up, I want you to just go ahead and say a word of prayer and just talk to God right now. And just seek that He shows you, if before now you don't know what God's purpose for your life, you just really just been living your life and, you know, just being living your life just to please, you know, yourself and just to suit yourself and just to meet your own personal needs. This is a time to just come to God and say, God, I want to know what you want from me. I want to know what you want from me, because now I understand. That knowing you is the true essence of life. That knowing your purpose for my life is the true essence of my life. Can you just say, God, dear God, my mind is open to receive your will for me. My mind is open to receive your plan and purpose for my life. I want to know it. And if you're someone who already knows God's purpose for your life, can you just ask for clearer, more clarity, for more clarity as you go on and pursue, that you receive and enter into more clarity, into greater clarity as touching God's plan and his purpose for your life. Amen.